Chill living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Every situation that has troubled my mind, all my cares and burdens unto you I roll. The even as we've sang, Spirit of God, have your way in all that concerns us. In all that pertains to us, O Lord, take preeminence. Take control, O God, every situation that relates to us individually, collectively. Have your way, O Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. We also pray, Father God, even as we go into your word, speak to us. For each man, for each woman, for each child, a word in season, O God. A word, a transforming word, a life-changing word. That, Lord, will not just be those that hear, but will be those that hear, that imbibe and put to practice that which you're saying to us. Lord, grant us hearing hearts, O God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's good to see our uni students back in the house. Blessing, okay. Praise God. It's good to see you guys. Welcome back. I'm sure it's been an eventful year in school, but God has seen you through. And for all our students, we thank God for the academic year that's coming. That's pretty much come to an end. They've done exams. And I believe, you know, God's faithfulness will continue with you in Jesus' name. And for all our secondary school students and primary school students and nursery, they're still going to nursery, that have started their holidays, pray that the summer break will be a time of refreshing for each and every one of you. The Lord will keep you. His hand will be upon you to protect, to guide in the mighty name of Jesus. It will be an awesome summer. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 17? Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to read from verses 14 to 18. Matthew 17, verses 14 to 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Matthew 17, 14 to 18. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and many times into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to cure him. And Jesus answered, O you unbelieving, warped, wayward, rebellious, and thoroughly perverse generation. How long am I to remain with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. Just verse 18. Thank you. I'll read that verse 18 again. It says, and Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was healed at once. The boy was cured instantly. Amen. By the grace of God, last week we looked at the topic power to perform. We looked at the topic power to perform. And as I was meditating on what the Lord would have me share today, you know, the word that was impressed in my mind was, but they could not heal him. But they could not heal him. And we see that in this passage. A man came to Jesus. You know, there was a mass of crowd. The man came to Jesus and said, you know what, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples. You know, I asked them to pray for him. He's suffering terribly. He falls, you know, into the fire. All sorts happened to him. I asked that they should pray for him, but they could not. They could not heal him. They could not cure him. And the question is, why couldn't the disciples cure this possessed boy? Why couldn't they heal him? In the first instance, for the father to have taken the son to the disciples, there must have been a level of belief that they could do it. If you know someone doesn't have the capacity to do something, you wouldn't bother going to them, would you? So it is those that you know are in a position to do something that you would go to and say, okay, can you help me? Can you help me do this thing? Can you help me do that thing? Because you believe that they're in a position to do it. Praise the Lord. So why couldn't these disciples, why couldn't they, you know, heal? When the man said to Jesus, you know what, I brought my son, they couldn't heal him. Jesus' response in verse 17, he said, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Verse 17. Use New King James if that's preferable. You know, he said, you unbelieving and perverse generation. The man said the disciples could not heal, but Jesus' response was not directed at the disciples. No. He was, you know, addressing everyone. They were in a multitude. You had a crowd. And he said, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Think the Amplified Version we read used the word wayward. Some translations say faithless and corrupt. You know, unbelieving and perverse. Faithless and corrupt. Faithless and twisted. Unbelieving and rebellious. A generation with no sense of God, no focus to your lives. That's the Passion Translation. It says, where is your faith? Can't you see how wayward and wrong this generation is? So in Jesus saying an unbelieving and perverse generation, he was saying a generation that were rebellious, a generation that lacked faith, a generation that were unfocused, a generation that essentially seemed to be doing what they wanted. He was not just speaking, he was speaking to the crowd, you know, the disciples and the mixed multitude. Even the father saying, you guys, you know, how long would I continue to be with you? How long would I continue to be with you? This story is particularly interesting because if we look at a few chapters prior to this, in Matthew chapter 10, you can read verses 5 to 8. Jesus commissioned the disciples, the 12. He sent them out. Says, these 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, so this happened just prior to the incidents we're looking at. And we're told that this story is also recorded in, you know, Luke. In Luke chapter 9, we see the same story being, you know, the commissioning of the 12. Jesus said, you've received freely, give freely, go out, heal the lepers, you know, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, heal those who are sick. So he commissioned them to do that. In the Luke version, if we read verse 6, it says, and as they were leaving, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So Jesus commissioned them, and they went out and were doing what he said. So they were preaching, they were healing, they were casting out demons. Therefore, for the Father to have brought his son, he would have seen that these guys, these disciples, they had that capability. It was in them to do it. But on this occasion, they failed. They failed. Even though they had been doing it previously, they had been healing, they had been casting out demons. So I said that, you know, after this wonderful experience, they were unable to heal the demon-possessed boy. So the question is, what went wrong? Why couldn't they do it? Something they've been doing before. And some of us were in this, you know, in a similar position. In times past, you know, we've been doing all manners of, you know, wonderful works for Christ. Why are we no longer doing that? What is happening? What is holding us back? Praise the Lord. Verse 19 of that passage we read says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. So Jesus, you know, casted out the demon. Well, the disciples now went to meet him afterwards. You know, they went to meet privately and they asked, why couldn't we? Why couldn't we cast it out? You know, this is something we've been doing before. Why couldn't we cast it out? And he said to them, because of your meager faith. Because of your unbelief, because of your meager faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. So Jesus Christ was saying, because of your unbelief, you know, some translations say, because of your little faith. Some say because of your meager faith. Some say because of your unbelief. If you have faith as a mustard seed, he said, you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will happen. A lot of manuscripts actually say little faith, you know, because of your limited faith or little faith. But if we think about the context, to me, it's more of unbelief. It's more unbelief because in the first instance, when Jesus was talking, he said, you know, unbelieving generation. And then he went to say that if you have faith like a mustard seed, we always talk about this. If you think about a mustard seed, actually, I checked. Say the size of a mustard seed is maybe between 1 and 2 millimeters. And I'm thinking 1 and 2 millimeters, how small is, you know, 1 millimeter? You can barely, I mean, I'm trying to hold my fingers. Imagine putting your fingers together and barely separating it. Jesus was saying that if you have faith as tiny, and I'm squeezing my eyes to see, but, you know, as tiny as this, that you will say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will happen. That's essentially, that is how much faith we need for the miraculous. It says, as little as that, the miraculous will happen. They were saying, you of little faith, you know, it's because of your unbelief that you've not been able, you know, you've not been able to perform this miracle. Praise the Lord. Faith the size of a mustard seed. If you have a minuscule faith, you will move mountains. Did these disciples, is it that they did not have faith? Or did they forget who they were and what they had? I remember during the prayer meeting on Friday, you know, we were told that it's important for us to recognize the power that we carry. And oftentimes, it is actually easy for us to forget what's inside of us. If we forget what is inside of us, we will not be able to function, or we will not function as we ought. So if you forget the power that is in you, remember these disciples had been healing. They had been casting out demons. They had been, you know, doing the works. If you forget the power that is vested in you, you'll not be able to function, or you would not function as you ought to. I pray that God will help each and every one of us. You know, there's so much that God has deposited in us. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves. That's part of, you know, confessing God's word, you know, reciting God's word, speaking God's word back to yourself. The fact that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Says, my soul knows that very well. Does your soul know that? Does your soul recognize, you know, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength? He didn't say, I can do some things. So I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The power is already in you, that power to perform. So yes, unbelief can make us not to do things. The lack of faith can make us not to do things, but also forgetfulness of the power that resides in us. You know, I'm just thinking of, you know, an example here. If someone has amnesia, they literally forget, the loss of memory, yes? So imagine a prince or a king that loses their memory and finds themselves in the gutters. They probably feel that that's where they belong. And they would not act or comport themselves in the manner of a king, but as a pauper. We should not be as those that have forgotten ourselves. God's power is in you to perform. You need to stir up that power. You need to stir up that faith to do what he's called you to do. Can we read John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14? Because the power is already in you. John 14, 12 to 14. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. So if you believe in Christ, the works that is done, you will do. And you will do greater works. He says, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, not some things, praise the Lord. Dame Lola, if you ask anything, this is what Jesus Christ said. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Monri, Jesus Christ said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right, children, all the children in the house, help me. Just read this sentence. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I can't hear you. That is what Jesus Christ said. That is his word. He didn't say some things. So when we go to the Lord in the place of prayer, when we pray to him, when we ask of him, Jesus Christ has said, you know, with a heart of faith, believing that, you know, God will do it. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said that the works I've done, that I do, you will do. You will do greater works. So we have that capacity. We have capacity. What did Jesus Christ do? He healed. What did he do? He preached. What did he do? He raised the dead. You have the capacity in you. So if we're not doing those things, we need to constantly ask ourselves, why are we not able to perform? Is it because we do not have the faith? Is it because we've forgotten what it is that he's expecting of us, what it is that resides in us? Praise the Lord. You know, I say that, lack of faith and doubt breed fear. Oftentimes people say the opposite of faith is it fear or doubt? I look at that, you know, when you lack faith, when there is doubt, it breeds fear. And the fear factor often holds us back. What if I try and it doesn't work out? You know, that's doubt coming in. And then you begin to think, how would people respond? What will people say? If someone is sick, what stops us from praying for that person? If someone needs healing, what stops you? What stops me from praying for that person? Are we concerned about the fact whether or not, okay, there's a lame person and the lame person comes there. Why would I not pray for that lame person? If I'm thinking, what if he doesn't get up and walk? What would people think? That in itself is already a barrier from me doing what I ought to do. Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples. You know, after the 12, we see another instance where, you know, he commissions some 70 odd disciples with the same commission. Go out, preach, heal, raise the dead, heal the sick. They say that they came back. You can see that, I think, in Luke chapter 10 or thereabouts. They came back rejoicing, saying that even the demons, you know, were subject to the name of the Lord. You're not doing it in your name. You're not doing it in my name. You're doing it in the name of the Lord. Yours is to go out and do. Yours is, if someone is sick, pray for them. You're not the healer. I'm sure we all know that. We're not the ones that heal. But we're praying in the name of the Lord. We're praying that God will intervene. We're preaching in the name of the Lord. We're doing what the Lord has asked us to do. The prerogative is for God to act. The duty is for us to do what we've been tasked with. We've been tasked with preaching the word. We've been tasked with, you know, praying for the sick, healing. So what we need to do is forget about the fear factor. You know, in James, when James was talking about wisdom, and he said, if anybody lacks wisdom, say they should ask from God. I think James 1, 6 and 7. I'll actually read it. He says, but ask in faith without doubting, without any doubt. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the person, that person ought not to expect that it will receive anything from the Lord. If we're doubting, if we're not acting in faith, no matter how much effort we're putting into certain things, they would not yield fruit. You know, the some translations, when Jesus, when they asked him and said that, why could we not heal? He said, your unbelief. Some versions say, because you're not focused. Some versions say, because, you know, you're a wayward regeneration. You're neither here nor there. You're just doing all sorts. You're not consistent. Are we consistently walking in the Lord's way? Are we consistent in our relationship with him? That makes a massive, massive difference to what we're able to accomplish. How consistent are we? And that for me is another reason why we would not be able to perform if we're not persistent. You know, being consistent and persistent. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. I think the Amplified Version says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. We have to be persistent in, you know, in the things we do. We should never give up. We should never turn back. We fail to exercise the power that we have in us when we're not persistent, when we do not stick to what God has called us to do. You know the passage we read, the Matthew 17, some versions omit verse 21. But I think that verse 21 is you know, the later manuscripts, I think, are the ones that, you know, omits, that included. Verse 21 says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I'm sure we all know not all you might say it in the, you know, in the footnote of your version if it's not there. But not all manuscripts put it there. And the, you know, it says, albeit these do not go out except by prayer and fasting. Being persistent in the place of prayer, being persistent, you know, in engaging with the Lord, in the place of fasting, to get God to move. Jesus, you know, God says, I command you me, you works of my hands. We have that authority to speak to the Lord, to tell the Lord, this is what we want, you know, to go to him in the place of prayer until it happens. And so there's a saying that you pray until something happens. You push, you persist, you persevere in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting. It is not repetition. Let's just make that distinction. Some will say that, oh, you know, I've prayed once, that is it. If I'm praying over it again, am I then, is it unbelief? Is it in vain? No. Ask and keep on asking until your joy is fulfilled. Keep at it. Trust in God. And when God tells you it is done, trust him at his word that is it is done. Are you praying for some people to receive the, you know, to come to know the Lord? Keep praying for them. We said on Friday that we should pray for, you know, we should choose, you know, some five people and be praying for them. That's not the first time we're saying that in the church. And, you know, some of us, we start and we do it for a while, and after a while we forget. Do we persist? Those that we want the Lord to, you know, to draw to him, are we upholding them in the place of prayer? Those that we're trusting God to deliver, are we praying for them? Or is this just a wish list? It has to be more than a wish list. We need to actively engage. The Lord is able to heal. I grew up in a church that pretty much the emphasis is divine healing. Divine healing, divine healing, divine healing. God is able to heal men without the intervention of anyone. But we've read that God has also given us that authority and that power to heal. And he commissioned us to do so. So we're not doing it. He's working through us to do it. We can pray for people in our closets, but we should be bold. I mean, do you mind if I pray with you? Do you mind if I pray for you? I remember a colleague, you know, people will tell you certain things, and you should ask yourself, why are they telling you? Particularly if your position is clear. You're a child of God. They know you're a Christian. Someone knows you're a Christian and is saying, oh, I've got prostate cancer. What do you say? Hey, yeah, it is well. It is well. It will be well in whichever way. But what stops you from volunteering what you've got? Was it on Friday we were talking about, you know, the disciples that, you know, they said, silver or gold, I don't have. I'm not a doctor. I can't heal. But what I have, I will give to you. What I have is Christ. Do you mind if I pray with you? What is it costing you? Nothing. Do you mind if I pray for you? It doesn't cost you anything. But when you do that, God manifests his power through you. And when you tell someone you're praying for them, and you pray for them, and they're healed, do you think they're going to totally, oh, yes, it was the NHS. Thank God for all the medics in the house. It was the doctors that did it. It was the physicians. No. You've sown a seed. Oh, X prayed for me. Y prayed for me. If it is instant, glory be. And if it happens at a point, a later point, you persist in that place of, you know, upholding the person, praying for them until it happens. Pray that God will help each and every one of us. That, you know, what he has vested in us will not take lightly. And we will begin to use, to, you know, to demonstrate the power. There's power in each and every one of us. Don't let us forget that. And let us begin to walk in that power and to begin to manifest that power. God will help each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Shall we rise to our feet for as many as are able? I don't know what word you has spoken to you in this service. We've had an awesome time in God's presence. The disciples could not heal. Not that they were incapable of healing, because they had been doing it before. Are you in a position that you've been doing things in the past and they're not happening anymore? You've been ministering, you've been preaching, you've been healing, you've been casting out demons, and they're not happening anymore. Why don't you just pray to God right now? Lord, wherever I might have gone wrong, wherever I might have missed the mark, is it unbelief? Is it a waywardness? Is it a lack of focus? Is it rebellion? Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. Help me, oh God, to realize the power that you vested in me and to begin to walk in that power. That, Lord, I will speak the word and it will be established. That I will pray for the sick and they will receive their healing. That I will pray for the possessed and demons will flee from them. To the glory of your name. Father God, is it unbelief? Is it doubt? You said in your word that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we will command mountains to move. Father God, we pray, oh God, that you'll help us, that our faith will grow in the mighty name of Jesus, that the works, oh God, that you did while you were on earth, we will do, and we will do greater works in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go into this week, oh Lord, we commit the week into your hand. We say, oh Lord, that we'll go forth manifesting your power in the mighty name of Jesus, that our light will shine. Men will see our good works, and they will give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. Shall we share the grace and fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we should dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.